Sound Opinions is supported by Dark Matter Coffee, an importer and roaster of direct-sourced coffees, offering a variety of signature blends and barrel-aged selections at darkmattercoffee.com. Dark Matter Coffee. Get freshly roasted.
Out in the street.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and we're running down some of the great songs that have been written about the music industry. And Jim, I gotta say, in my research on this topic, I know a lot of these songs already, but generally they tend to be against the music industry. You don't hear too many people cheerleading about it. When they want to write a song about the music industry, they're generally pretty ticked off.
Well, there was Nick Lowe's I Love My Label, but he was ironic, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. Jim, you'd played a Public Enemy track earlier, and I want to return to the world of hip-hop. I think there's been a lot of great hip-hop tracks about the corrupting power of money on the integrity of hip-hop. You know, you find a lot of songs in this area where it's an artist talking about me and how I'm offended by the way my record company is treating me. But in a lot of these hip-hop tracks, the best of them, they talk about sort of the wider issues, about how the soul of hip-hop has been corrupted by money and greed. You know, we played Tribe Called Quest Show Business up at the top. Common's I Used to Love Her is a great example. Ultra's The Industry is Whack. The Fun-Loving Criminals with The Biz. You know, they sort of paint this broader picture. Another great example of that is this group Blackalicious out of California. Basically a duo, Gift of Gab, the MC, and the DJ producer Chief XL. They made great albums, the first of which was called Naya in 1999, which this song comes from. Gift of Gab turns this track, Deception, into a moral tale that plays out over these three verses. You hear the artist deceiving himself about what matters, and he's paying the price at the end. You know, he loses his credibility, then he loses his career. This fascinating tale. Blackalicious, Deception on Sound Opinions.
This is a story of a kid, his name is Cisco, who made more money than the count of Monte Cristo. He lived a lavish style of life, fast money, women, cars, and he liked to frequent bars, pubs, and discos. Made his living as a world-famous rap star. When he first started, Mike respects what he was after. And so he got inside his mind day and night, and he write constantly his art and craft he tried to master. Started winning local battles, and his rep grew. Gave his crew a reputation as the best crew. And what life would deal to him, all the cards that was hard, pen and pad, stress relief would be his refuge. Paid his dues doing shows, now he's on track. In the lab, pumping demos, making songs fast. Then he quit his 9-to-5, finally his time arrived, when he signed a major label record. Gassed his head, taking it to the point where he lost proper perspective. Started cutting off the people he came up with. Ego blown like his soul had been abducted. Though his heart was once real, now material has filled up his world and he couldn't get enough of it.
That is Blackalicious with the song Deception, about the deception that the music industry plays on these young hip-hop artists on Sound Opinions. Jim, what do you got next?
Well, as noted earlier, Greg, we declared this a Rolling Stones free zone, or we would have gone with the under-assistant West Coast promotion man, which I just love because of the portrait of a mid-level record company nebbish. But you didn't only get those songs in the 60s. The alternative rock era, I think, now that we're past it, we can see as the last gasp of the old school music industry, the $1,000 dinners where bands are being wined and dined and flown around and courted by the major label system, which really wouldn't exist much longer. Local H was a Chicago duo, guitar and drums, led by Scott Lucas with the original drummer Joe Daniels, that had some success for the 1996 album As Good As Dead. Remember, it spawned a couple of alt-era radio hits, High-Fiving MF and Eddie Vedder, and most of all, Bound for the Floor. But their relationship with Island was contentious, Island Records, especially because when it came time to make album number two, they made a very good one, Pack Up the Cats, 2 years later, 1998. But Island was merging with PolyGram, merging with Universal, you know, those record company consolidations, and the record was completely lost. I think that Local H saw this coming, and they recorded a song called Laminate Man. Now, if you've never been to a record industry convention like South by Southwest or any record industry gathering, everybody has these laminated tags around their neck, right? Now, every convention has that, right? But the obnoxious thing in the music world is that the higher-up executives take the tag and they put it in their shirt pocket, thereby defeating the purpose of wearing the tag, so you can't tell who they are, so you don't bother them to do their job and maybe listen to your music. Scott Lucas, I think, is a very funny and underrated lyricist. He writes, "You want to turn me around by the resume around my neck, the laminate, right? Hand in hand on the witness stand, making time with what you got. You want to jerk me around with your resume around your neck. You're going to buy us with the ease of a virus and disease." I think this is one of the great alternative rock era anti-music biz songs, Laminate Man by Local H on Sound Opinions. Local H with Laminate Man, another great song about the music business. Greg, what's your last pick?
Jim, in some ways I'm saving the best for last. When we first talked about the idea of this show, this was the song that immediately popped into my head, I'm going to play it now.
You spit it out so quick, I didn't even have a chance to name it before you got to it.
I beat you to it. I think it's near and dear to both of our hearts, and anybody who grew up or was around this era when the Sex Pistols were first making waves. People perhaps now don't realize how much controversy they caused in England when they first emerged, signing their first record deal in October of 76 with a major label, EMI, put out their first single, Anarchy, in the UK in November of that year. By December, the Sex Pistols were already ticking off their label. They appeared on a television talk show in London, where they exchanged naughty words with the host, Bill Grundy. And from that point on, were basically public enemy number one in the UK as far as the media was concerned. Heathrow Airport in January of 77, they were supposedly spitting each other and throwing insults at the airport staff. And at this point, EMI says, "We've had enough. we're basically cutting you guys off. We're letting you go. The biggest band in England at the time being let go by their major label. Even a member of parliament got into the act, writing the president of EMI saying, surely a group of your size and reputation could forgo the doubtful privilege of sponsoring trash like the Sex Pistols. So EMI caves in and lets the Sex Pistols go. Then A&M, another major label, signs them to a deal in March of 77. A week later, they let the Sex Pistols go because they've had enough of them. Finally, Virgin Records, the third label in like 6 months that signs the Sex Pistols because they are so incorrigible, puts the group together, allows them to make an album, which becomes Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols, one of the greatest punk albums of all time. And on that record, this song appears. It is basically Johnny Rotten's uncensored viewpoint of his relationship with EMI and also a reference to A&M at the end, basically saying, you guys all stink. I hate you. I want you to die and go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. The Sex Pistols with EMI on Sound Opinions.
It's an unlimited supply, and there is no reason why. I tell you, it was all a frame. They only did it because of fame. Who? EMI. 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 Too many people have the sus. Too many people support us. An unlimited amount. Too many outlets in and out. Who? EMI. 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 The sovereign friends are crucified. A day they wish that we had died.
Johnny Rotten, what a sneer. EMI by the Sex Pistols on Sound Opinions.
Perhaps an obvious choice, Greg, but a great one. I'm going to go with another obvious choice, but a great one. No two ways you can get around it. Have a Cigar by Pink Floyd is one of the best tracks ever about the music business. I think Pink Floyd has become such an icon of classic rock radio that we don't often think about the tunes and how smart they are. I mean, the song sounds amazing. Wish You Were Here is the I think, the best recorded of Pink Floyd's great albums. It's an astonishing sonic accomplishment. But the lyrical sense of humor in this song. Now, you have to realize where they were in 1975. The Dark Side of the Moon had taken them from this obscure English underground cult band to becoming the best-selling rock band in the world for a very long stretch. Broke every record there was to break. They weren't expecting this. They were used to making weird albums that nobody listened to, right? And suddenly the music industry, which has never really paid any attention to them from the beginning in the 60s, is looking at them long and hard. They are having meetings in boardrooms. These were slacker kind of guys that did not like meetings in boardrooms, and they're meeting with executives in suits with cigars. And they're saying things like, these executives, come in here, dear boy, have a cigar, right? And Pink Floyd doesn't know what to make of this. I think one of the things that make the song special is that it's one of only two songs throughout the Floyd's catalog that isn't sung by anybody in the group. They invited the great singer-songwriter from the UK, a UK underground hero, Roy Harper, to come in and sing the song. A legendary musician who, you know, Led Zeppelin wrote a song about him, and he was a hero of The Who, is singing this song and making the pitch. I've always had a deep respect, and I mean that most sincere, the executive is saying, right? The band is just fantastic. That's really what I think. Oh, by the way, which one's Pink? And Pink Floyd actually had things like this said to them, you know, where they're being kissed up to by the industry. Oh, you, one of you guys must be Pink. I'd like to meet Pink, right? And of course, Waters got a lot of mileage out of this later with The Wall. But I think as a statement on the record industry, Have a Cigar is the best they ever gave us. Here's Pink Floyd on Sound Opinions. Have a Cigar by Pink Floyd. That wraps up our show featuring songs that deal with the music industry. When we come back, a conversation with Antti Balas. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.